John records here a truth that Christians hold on to. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We've been talking for quite a few months now about the life that you can have through Jesus Christ. And Jesus here says, He is Himself the life. Not just the one who's able to give life, not just the one who raises Himself from death to life, not just the one who lives forever. Jesus is life itself. Jesus is life. This passage is all about life, but it's more than just the life that you can have with Jesus. In this passage, we see Jesus talks about a place, a destination that you can go to, a destination that He Himself is in and was going to. He tells you the way to get to that destination, and He tells you who is the master of that destination, the master of that place, and indeed the master of all life. Now you can imagine these disciples, 11 of them, sitting around Jesus, Judas having left, being very troubled because Jesus had said to them, "I'm leaving, and where you are going, where I am going, you cannot come." They probably had in their mind thoughts, terrible thoughts of death. They knew that Jesus coming to Jerusalem in the first place was a risk to His life. And they must have known, especially since Jesus had already said, "I will die," they must have known that what He was talking about was Him dying, or at least going into some sort of trouble that they themselves would not be able to help Him in, or be with Him in. At this point, Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." It's all right, brethren, don't worry about it. We'll just continue as we are. Yeah. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." Jesus wants them to place their trust, not just in God, but when they think about God Himself, the Father that they've been taught to trust as Jews since they were little children, when they think about the Father, God in heaven, to think about Jesus Himself, "Believe in Me." And He says, "In My Father's house," that is, with God Himself, "in My Father's house," that great and wonderful place that you can go to, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then He says, "Trust in Me." Why? "Because I go to prepare a place for you. I've told you that I'm leaving. Well, this is where I'm leaving too. I'm going to be with My Father to prepare a place for you in His house." Surely that is something to look forward to. That is something for troubled hearts to have peace in. In God's house are many mansions. I love that picture of a mansion in God's house. It's as though God's dwelling place is so vast and so wonderful and so great that in heaven with God, you don't just get given a dormitory. You don't just get given a spot just for you. Or perhaps at work you get given a cubicle. When you go to camps, you get given a bed. Here Jesus says, your place in heaven is a mansion. God has reserved a place in heaven for you with Jesus. "If it were not so, I would have told you," He says. And if I go, He's telling them, don't be troubled that I'm leaving, because if I go, I prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, in God's place, with a mansion for you, that where I am, there you may be also. For where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Jesus is telling them that He's already told them where He's going, even though He's been speaking a little bit obliquely. Jesus is telling them that he's already told them the way to get there. And yet, the disciples still are a little bit thick-headed. Maybe it's just the emotion of the moment. Maybe it's that they're so stuck in their understanding of God's kingdom being on earth that they haven't really understood that Jesus' kingdom is in heaven and that he will renew the earth. But Jesus, having explained, "I prepare a place for my people with me in heaven, for you, my disciples, you know the way." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there." Thomas, we know from later on in the Gospels, we read about him being a doubter, someone who needs to have everything laid out for him, someone who needs the evidence. And here, he needs it spelled out plainly for him. Just tell us what you're doing. Stop speaking in metaphors, or stop speaking in pictures or shadows. Just tell us. Tell us where you're going and how we're meant to get there. We don't know. He doesn't want to have to interpret what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says something which is all at once really clear, and yet at the same time not really a really clear answer to Thomas's message, to Thomas's question. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to go to the Father? You come through me. This is the way, through Jesus Christ himself. You want to know what's true? Come to Jesus. Jesus will tell you what is true. You want real and eternal life? You come to Jesus. Jesus will give you that life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And then he just lays it out plain. He says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You believe in God? Good. We're told in another part of Scripture, even the devils believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe in God. Believing in God doesn't bring you into the presence of God. You want to be in the presence of God, then you need to be with the one who is in God and with God, the one who is the way to God. No one, Jesus says, comes to the Father, God himself, except through me. That doesn't leave us a lot of wiggle room. It doesn't allow us to look at other ways to heaven or other ways to God. Jesus is either telling the truth or Jesus is not the Saviour. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why do you come to Jesus? Why is Jesus the way? Jesus is the way because he says in verse 9, "The words that I speak, I don't speak to you on my own authority. I speak to you from the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Jesus speaks from authority. Jesus says, "I am the truth." Jesus is either the one who has authority to take you to the Father. Jesus is the one who tells you the truth, that that is the way to God through him. Or he is a liar. He is a usurper, someone who is trying to claim something that is actually not his right. I believe in Jesus Christ because of his power. I believe in Jesus Christ because of the works that he did in this world. Raising the dead, stopping the winds and the waves, healing those who could not be healed. I believe in Jesus Christ because of his power. Jesus has that power. Jesus did those works. And if he didn't, he is not God. Jesus says to them, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you really want to know the Father? He says, "If you had known me..." He's speaking to his disciples here, so it's a little bit of a rebuke Because he says, if you had known me, in other words, saying to them, you haven't really gotten to know me well enough in the last 3 years that I've been with you. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. He knows that his disciples genuinely are trusting in Jesus, even though their faith is weak and it's about to be shown up just how weak it is. If you want to know Jesus, sorry, if you want to know God the Father, look at Jesus. Philip, another disciple, still doesn't get it. He says, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. They want Jesus to spell it out plainly. But Jesus has already spelled it out. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And Jesus says, Philip, have I been with you so long and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Again, if you want to know about the one who rules this world, look at God, yes, through his word, scriptures. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. That's God. If you have known Jesus, then you know God. If you are in relationship with Jesus, if you love Jesus, then you love God. If you submit to Jesus, you submit to God. So this is the way. The first disciples after Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, we're called people of the way. The way to God, they believed, was through Jesus Christ. They could not stop speaking about Jesus Christ. They were different from the Jews around them who believed in God, who believed in the scriptures. They were people of the way. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. And so Jesus has a challenge for his disciples. Jesus has a challenge for you and for me. He says to his disciples, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And I say that to you. Do you believe that Jesus is in the Father, that Jesus is in God and God is in Jesus? In other words, God and Jesus are inseparable. If you want to come to God, you have to come to Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus' word that I am in the Father is in me? Because look at the master of this place, this wonderful place of healing, this wonderful place of mansions, this wonderful place of brightness and glory, and we're told in Revelation, no more tears or suffering or pain, where everything is remade. Look at the master of this place. He says, I am in the Father in me. I don't speak on my own authority. Jesus says, I'm not just some guy telling you that I am God. I'm not just some guy telling you to believe me. Jesus has the Father, God himself, in him, and he is in the Father. Believe me, she says in verse 11, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, he speaks to his disciples who have seen everything else that Jesus has done, or else just believe the works that I have done. John, the apostle, in writing this gospel, was teaching us, was teaching all of the people round about, the mighty works that Jesus had done. He records Jesus transforming water into wine. He records Jesus raising a young girl from death when everyone was outside wailing. He records Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead 4 days after he had been declared dead and buried, and in fact, he stunk. He records Jesus healing men from leprosy. All of these works that Jesus had done, his disciples had seen. In fact, the people round about had seen these things. Jesus says, even if you don't believe what I'm saying now, believe the works that I have done. And moreover, believe the works for you and me. Believe the works that Jesus has done after he said these words. The very next day, Jesus was murdered. He was tried in court, which had no right to convict him. He was crucified, executed in the most terrible manner. And yet, only 3 days later in Jewish time, in fact, we would actually call it about a day and a half later, only a day and a half later, 3 days in the Jewish counting, Jesus raised from the dead. And in front of 500 people, 40 days after that, he rose up into heaven and told them, I'm coming again. I'm a Christian because I believe those works. Without those works, Jesus is nothing. Without those works, Jesus is just a man who spoke well and had a following for a short period of time and died as a common criminal on a Roman cross. If you are looking for comfort, if you are troubled, Jesus offers you this comfort. But he doesn't offer it to you as someone who died as a common criminal on a cross 2,000 years ago. He offers it to you as the one who died and rose again and ascended into glory. He offers it to you as the one who is in the Father and the Father is in him. He says to you, yes, there is a place and I'm preparing a place for you. And he says, the way to get to that place is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'll just crack our hearts so that we submit to you. For so often we set ourselves up as your judge, and we set ourselves up as wiser than you. Lord, I pray that each one of us will submit before you, because you are both the great God and the one who came down and died on the cross for our sakes. And Lord, we bless you for your mercy and your love, and the fact that you are willing to die for those who hated you, and even on the cross you said, forgive those who are even casting stones and spitting and casting cruel curses on the one who is innocent. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness. We pray that you'll draw near to us and help us to not only understand your word, but to know you as our Father and Saviour. Through the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.